Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to your word. We ask you that as we go to it, Lord, that our mind may be awake, that we may hear and appropriate everything that you want us to have today. Guide us in the things we're going to share. Quicken us, Lord, by your power and your anointing, so that what we do may not just be pleasing to you, but may be effective in the things you send it for. Because your power is in your word. We thank you and praise you for everything you're going to do. And open ourselves up to you, Lord, and to your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, revelation, understanding, and breakthroughs today. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start with the prayer that we send out, you know, from Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 23. Just how many are using it daily? Okay, good. Some people. Yeah. All right. So here we go. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward me who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only of this age, but also in that which has to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So we are going to continue. We are asking for revelation. You see, I said when we started that the reason why people don't pray is because they do not understand the power that is in prayer, the effectiveness when we do the right, we pray the right way. No, the difference it makes in our life, in our environment, in everything that we are involved in, and everything is around us. So we have to really come to that understanding. That's why, you know, it's not just a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. Prayer is a spiritual activity. It cannot be properly conducted or carried out in your mind only. It's to be your heart and your spirit has to be involved in the process. And so we have to have some of the understanding that the Bible gives us concerning that. And we are going to see more and more, okay, how to actually achieve that. Now we go back to the prayer, to Jesus' words in Matthew 6, verse 6. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in heaven, who is in secret place, in the secret place. and your Father who sees it in secret will reward you openly. I mean, this is a major promise. You know, it's saying to us clearly that when we pray and we shut ourselves up from the world and we come in contact with God and we do these things just in our relationship between us and Him, then He is going to reward us openly. That means there is going to be actual evidence for others to see the difference, the impact, the reward that we get. Now, there is so much about that part there, that reward, that what is actually happening that, you know, I don't think I can even finish today talking about that. But I'm going to start. Okay, first of all, you know, we talked a bit about what is this room that we shut ourselves in. Okay, the word in Greek is tamion, which means closet. It means a secret room, a place in which you are not get any interference. It's a private place between you and God. Okay, and this is a place in which you can interact and come to a relationship with Him that is closer than any other place. We need to spend time with Him to be able to make that intimate connection with Him that makes a difference in our life. This is what Jesus did all the time. This is where Jesus got His revelations, His power, His anointing, everything that He operated in came from the time He spent with the Father in prayer when nobody there was there around. He went into the desert, went in places where he was solitary, and He spent time by Himself to receive the strength that He needed. Now, we are bombarded with things all the time in this world, and it's going to get worse. And we need strength today more than ever. Amen. And that's the only way for us to get it. This is not a physical strength. You know, strong people collapse when there are problems. It's not the physical strength. It's not the toughness that somebody has. It's the spiritual power, the spiritual strength that they have that keep holding them. And so we had to learn to receive that. And when we get into our closet or our secret place, I'm going to spend time on this because we had to understand, you know, the implication of this secret place, because it's not the only place that the Bible talks about this. Okay. But, you know, when we do that, it's like we are charging our batteries. Okay. We need to, you know, when you use your phone or whatever, you know, it doesn't last forever. You need to charge the battery all the time. Okay, because that is where the phone is regenerated. If you want to be regenerated, that's the thing you had to do. You had to recharge yourself. And the difference between somebody that has spiritual strength and somebody that doesn't have it is the time they spend in prayer by themselves with the Father. Hallelujah. So what we do when we go there? Okay, this prayer closet, or the place in secret. So prayer, first of all, you know, we said even last week, is a place. It's a place both spiritually and physically. There has to be a component there that is not just what you do physically, that, you know, if you just blab things, there's nothing happens. And that's why people don't pray, because they do not understand what they have to do, and they don't get results, and they say, well, they're wasting my time. Well, yeah, they're wasting your time. You're wasting because you're not doing it the right way. If you, each time you pray, you should get a breakthrough. Amen. You should get a change. Amen. In the situation. I may not have, you know, you may not be able to get the conclusion of the problem, but you should be moving toward that. And you should know experience that you move toward that. You know, it's not just a question of a mental thing. You should know inside that something happened. Okay. It's the knowledge that you have acquired that something took place and made a difference. The way you feel, the way you look at things, the way you where you are emotionally, everything should be shifted. Okay. So how do you get God's presence? See, because this is the essential thing. It's not just a question of talking to the wall. You have to get to a place where you get the manifestation of God's presence taking place for you. Okay. Now, you know, you say, well, theoretically, God is everywhere, which is completely true. See, Psalm 139, verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Well, sometimes we are not really aware of the presence. That's the problem. Okay? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. So the idea is that, you know, God is everywhere. Okay, you don't pray to an idea of God that you have. Okay, you pray to a person. God is a person that you connect with, that you communicate with, and that communicates back to you. You should expect that. Praise the Lord. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 says, you know that when you were Gentile, called away to these dumb idols, wherever you were led. See, the idea is, you know, that the idols, the things that the Gentile, you know, the people that are not believers, they talk to dumb idols. That means, you know, there is no communication there. You can talk to a wall, you can talk to a statue, you can go to everything, but there is nothing coming back to you. If nothing is coming back to you, nothing is there. God wants a relationship with you. So God wants you to actually receive from him, not just to tell him stuff. Actually, you know, it's most, you know, you should be getting just as much stuff back to you than you ask him, because he knows much more than you do. Amen. Okay? He knows what you didn't know before you even open your mouth. And the reason why you had to open your mouth is to be aware that you said something. And to focus on the things that you have to deal with. So how are we entering into this presence? How are you getting into there? Okay. See, God is everywhere, but will not manifest his presence except in some situations. And so you have to put yourself in those situations. You know, it says that even to start with, you know, in John chapter 4, 22 and 24, said, you know, unless you worship in spirit and in truth, this is what God wants, that the type of relationship. So there has to be, you have to be doing with your spirit and in the truth. I mean, you have to be not an hypocrite. You know, you are believing, you are moving into this place, you are trusting him, you are putting yourself into his presence. Because he's there. You were aware before, maybe because we are distracted by other things, because we are distracted by our senses. But God is there. As we become aware of the presence that is there, and we acknowledge the presence, and we go before him in sincerity and in truth, then the situation changes, and we become aware of that he's right there. Okay? But that's not enough even. If you go to Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 19, says, for having brethren boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. You see, we can, when we go before God, we just can't go just out of our own goodness. See, do we have to have an access card? I mean, the way to get into the door, you know, you had to have the code to get in. And Jesus gave us the code, and it's his blood. Amen. So that's what we do. We go, you see, that we are unclean. Because the world, we walk in the world. And because we walk in the world, then we are completely bombarded by things that are really, you know, not able to go in the presence of God. God is holy. And to go into his presence, we had to be holified. Okay? And the only way to do that is be washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. He paid for our sins. He paid for our mistakes. He paid for everything that we, you know, make us unworthy. And he made us worthy. So that we have access to the Holy of Holies. You see, the priest that can go there only once a year, and they had to be there, you know, and very careful, and that only the high priest could do that. Well, praise the Lord. We have access every day without even making an appointment. He's there for us. Whenever we need him. And so, but there is a part we play. I mean, we had to get into the presence. He's not very often does it the other way around. Sometimes he does because he cares enough to wake us up and to shake us up sometime. And he does that. But we need to generally go before him in the right attitude, in the right place. And this is what we do in the beginning of Jesus. Okay, so by we having boldness, so we can have boldness, not our own thing, but because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, that was broken for us. So this is the way we get in. That's the way we have access. And we come into his presence. You know, when we truly are washed in the blood, when we really appreciate and appropriate what took place there that day, then our position is clear. And we have access. You know, having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near, and this is with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You see, that's the thing. This is what we had to have. We had to put our faith not in our own abilities, not our perfection, but what Jesus' perfection did, for what he did for us. And that's the thing that to put, you see, that is by faith we can access the Father. Amen. There is no other way. But we can exercise, and we are called to exercise our faith all the time when we go in prayer. If we don't pray in faith, we are wasting our time. You see, with full assurance. I mean, we don't have there, you know, is God here? Is God there? Is, you know, people talk about, you know, brass, you know, sky and stuff like that. Forget it. God is not in the sky. God is inside us. Amen. All right, let me continue. You know, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, our hearts sprinkled. Can you say hearts sprinkled?
Hearts sprinkled.
So you see, our heart has to be, you know, affected by what Jesus did. Amen. Okay? All right. And from an evil conscience, what separates us from God is an evil conscience. Realizing that we are not good enough. But that is cured is fixed by Jesus' blood. So that it's not us and what we have done that is never enough. It's what he has done that is more than enough. Amen. Okay? So we can have full assurance. We're not there wondering, well, you know, maybe taking me. No. I mean, if you really are washed in the blood, that means, you know, you recognize that you did wrong, that you repent, you go before him. I mean, and then you go say, okay, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I'm free. Thank you, I'm forgiven. Thank you, you died for me. And automatically, by the power of the blood, which is the highest power that you can ever put together, the blood of Jesus, you can have access in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, by repentance of our sins, that's where we start. It's no use to go there to God when we feel guilty. Your guilt has to be left behind. Washed by the blood of Jesus, washed by your repentance, washed by the acceptance of what he has done in your place, so that you don't need to. And he opened the door. This is what he did, you know. And says, and our bodies washed with pure water. See, this is not something that happens once. It's something that happens all the time. The water is the word of God, changing our behavior, changing the way we line up ourselves. We, you know, to go to God, you cannot go to God in your own ways. You had to go, you had to line up with him. He doesn't change. So if he doesn't change, if you want to get there, you had to change. And you change by what we said, just said before. I mean, it's not that complicated. It's just that one has to do it. One has to take those steps. One has to, you know, get to the place in which the things that separates you from God, your conscience know exactly well, even if you cover it up, even if you are there, you know, finding excuses and everything else, you don't, you know, you can't fool me, you can fool somebody else, but you cannot fool your conscience. And even if you just, you know, make a shut up, you know, say, don't, you know, just, I'm fine. You know, ask people, how are you today? I'm fine. Take off your mask. You cannot have a mask before God. He can see inside you better than you can ever think. Okay. So, his body washed, you know, these are really the condition in which you are going actually to experience God's presence. When you truly, honestly, with your heart, do that, God is going to be there. Period. I mean, sometimes we may have difficulties, have problems that we are struggling with, things that are burdening us. But, you know, the scripture we read last week was about Jesus and Gethsemane. I mean, if there was a problem burdening Jesus, I don't think anybody can get any bigger burden. Okay? He was sweating blood. Okay, but he met with the Father there. And we can see some of the things that took place in Gethsemane that show us what can happen to us. By the end of his prayer, he was, okay, let's go. The time is now. I dealt with it. And he dealt with me. So he was and come to the solution in which we settled with the God, the will of God in his life. Because he knew it all the time anyway. It wasn't something new. He had been prophesizing about it for many times before. So don't tell me that he was finding out at the last moment. He knew exactly what was taking place, and he went, you know, he realized, but at the same time, he realized the implications Oh, I was going to take place. They were just the physical one. You know, I think the physical were the minor for him. It was the separation from the father that was the big issue. And that was a major issue for him. And he had to come to that place in which he could accept that, even, you know, to full align himself with the scripture. Okay. Now, you know, when you do that, then there is no problem to be in God's presence. There is no problem in making the connection. We establish this contact and awareness with Him, turning Him to open up ourselves, communicate and to hear what we get back, what we receive. See, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if we, you know, we shouldn't have any problem. We should, He's always with us. The thing is, we don't always are aware. The more aware we become of His presence, the more, you see, it has to happen sometimes. So, you know, for some time there are things distracting us. We need to spend time with Him to become aware of the presence. When the presence is with us, and we get Him when we are just in intimacy with Him, then we start, you see, He's inside us, but we are not aware of His being there most of the time because we are caught up with our senses. But what we need to realize is that He's there. Now we are aware of that. As we are aware of that, then we can go with that awareness. You see, that's what Jesus did. I mean, He was charging up through the whole night, praying and going before the Father and receiving from Him. And then He would go out. He didn't need to be there, you know, praying too much because His presence was already in there and the power of God was already in there to minister to others. So that the crowds were not affecting Him. He could walk in by carrying God's presence within Him. And releasing the power of God to minister to others. Okay, we can go. If you really come in contact with God, if you really come into that relationship, you know, if you really manifest His presence to you, it just, you cannot stay the same. And even when you stop praying, the things keep going with you because you just can't forget it. Until maybe something happened or whatever, or you get tired, or, you know, there are other things interfering, but it carries. And it's not just something that you feel inside, it's something that is evident on the outside. It's something that, you know, other people can see. You see, that's what God said, you know, what Jesus said in the verse I read before. You know, what you pray in secret, you know, He will reward you openly, so that openly is evident. You see, if somebody tried to preach and preach without having gone before in the presence of God and receive that presence within, you know, the only thing you get is their charisma and is not the power of God. Are you following me?
Yes.
So we need to get to that place to be able to break through the limitation that we have ourselves. You see, that's you distinguish the, you know, somebody can be really charismatic, could be a good speaker, you know, and do a nice presentation. Presentations don't change lives. It's God's power that changes life. It's God's power that produces miracles. It's God's power that heals people. It's God's power that gives you the ability to cope with anything comes your way.
Amen.
And give you the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this is the power that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, but if you are not aware that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are not aware that God is inside you and wants to get out of you ministering to others, it doesn't do any good. He's not there to take a trip with you. He is there for to be manifested, so that you manifest His presence. But if you are not aware of His presence inside you, how can you manifest anything? Because you don't have it. Even if you do, because you are some another space, you are a different space. So pray in secret to have the evidence and the reward openly in your life. Amen. See, when you start experiencing that, it's not that complicated to want to pray. You want to pray because it feels good. Because you get energized. You know, you get to the place where you prayed all the time. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. And we're going to talk about that some other time. But, you know, all power, you know, what Jesus said, you know, all power and authority is given unto me, therefore you go. And, you know, He will be with you until the end of the age. So you see, the presence with you comes, but for you to have the presence with you, that you had to be aware of that presence. You had to experience that presence. You had to get to that presence to start with. And to get to that presence, sometimes you had to deal with the things inside yourself, the things that need to be resolved, the things that need to be repented of, the things that need to be resolved and make decisions that had to be made so that you can move on into the presence and keep in there. Okay. So, you got there. You had to get there, regularly spend time in prayer and become aware of that. God, it's just right there with you. And you talk to Him. And you listen. But He tells you, just like a little child talking to his daddy, Abba, Father. That's what Jesus addressed the Father. Abba, Daddy. See, that intimate, simple, childish relationship that we had to develop to be able to connect with Him. It's not by intellectualism or philosophy that you are going to get anywhere. That's man's idea. Hallelujah. See, one of the things we had to make sure is we take off the mask. We have to stop any hypocrisy or stuff like that, because the very moment when you move in that direction, the contact is lost. See, in Acts chapter 1, verse 24, when they were trying to get the substitute for Jude, you know, they say, you know, to choose the disciples to take Judas' place, they prayed and said, "Oh Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these is the one you have chosen." So you see, God knows our heart. I mean, you are naked before Him, if you like it or not. You better like it, because if you try to cover up, He's gone. That's as simple as that. Okay, He knows you better than you know yourself. So it's not a question of playing games with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you get to that place, when you come into the presence of God, you allow God in to know you the way you are. But what happens? See, you cannot do that without reciprocating. That's when you know God the way He is. That's the only way that you are going to know God. It's not by studying it. Or you can know all the information, you can tell all the names of God and everything else, but that's just about God. See, knowing God has to do with intimacy, has to do with personal knowledge, has to do with personal interaction, has to do with the relationship, not with study. Now, the study gives you the background to check if you're going in the right direction or not. And this is essential, it's important. I'm not saying that it's useless. But what I'm saying is you can do all the study. You can have a PhD in theology. You can have all the other information and doesn't help you the least bit unless you come to know God, knowing God, you know, in the way that you know a person that you are intimate with. We are going to, you know, deal with one of the mysteries. I think now, maybe. Yes. The mystery about knowing God. But, you know, says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, I say, what has to do with knowing God? Read the following verse. The following verse says, this is a great mystery. What is the great mystery? But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So you see, we had to get revelation for that. A mystery is something that we need to access, not by the logical mind, but by a revelation in our spirit, by discernment. What is he telling us? You see, the relationship between us and him is to be the same way, has to be the same type of intimacy that you have, I hope so, with your wife or your husband. I mean, there has to be not hypocrisy. Has to be when two come together knowing, you know, the Ginosko, actually, you know, the word is used in Greek, means, you know, to know, actually, epignosko in some cases, you know, to know really personally, in deep way, like a husband know a wife, or a wife know a husband. Okay? This is the way, you know, yada in Hebrew. Okay? It's the same thing that was used in the old, Adam knew Eve. You know, the word there, I would say, yeah, that is really the way of knowing God in a personal relationship is the way that we know our spouse. And the reason why God made us, male and female, I believe, is to go, give us a taste of what is an intimate relationship, because otherwise we could not ever learn how to do it. So we can grow into that understanding. This is God's plan. And this is the mystery, is the two become one. What does it mean, two become one? I mean, they come start to be a unity in spirit, a unity in understanding, a unity in operation that is beyond somebody, you know, having sex. And it's beyond having a relationship with a dead idol. Okay. What does it mean that two become one when you're talking about God? Well, it means simply that you start to know, God start to know your thoughts. And you start to know God's thoughts. I mean, when there's a close relationship between husband and wife, sometimes you don't need to say anything because you know what the other person is saying. Amen? Amen? Well, you can start to know God's thoughts. My goodness, isn't that essential for us to have that relationship, or that relationship becomes effective? But doesn't stop there. You see, our will start to become his will. Because we are one. See, this is why Jesus could say, you know, I only do what I see my father doing. And I, you know, my will, your will be done, not mine. Because, you know, you can come. This is the place in which you reach the place of communion in your thoughts, in your will, in your position, in everything that you have with him. I mean, that should produce transformation, wouldn't you say? You see, the purpose of that relationship is to change us through from faith to faith, from glory to glory, until we get to the place where we are like Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So, see, this is a revelation that we had to get about that reality that takes place. It's not someone far away. I don't need to ask her. I can just look at her face. Are we on the same page? Are you following me? You see what I'm getting to? You see, we are talking about transformation. We are talking about communion with God at a level that is impacting our behavior, impacting our life, impacting everything we do, transforming us, empowering us to do things that we cannot do ourselves. Hallelujah. No, there is another scripture that I want to reinforce this idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Are you getting that? You see, this is the union that comes about. And how you do that? Well, you know, it doesn't, you have to be joined with him. You have to spend time with him. You know, you can't develop a good relationship with your wife or husband if you don't spend time with them. So you have to spend time with them and address the things that separate you so that you can come to the place in which there is unity. The same thing with God. You have to come to the place in which the things that separate you from God are dealt with. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's okay. I haven't got where I wanted to get. Praise the Lord. All right? I want to just to say that, you know, Jesus said, you know, pray, watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. So you see, one of the things that you get is the strength to overcome the things that are eating you to tempt you for things. You can overcome them that way. You know, but to get to that place, when you spend time with him, you have to give an undivided attention to him. And when you give undivided attention to God, God is going to give you in divided attention.
Amen.
Can you imagine the creator of the universe giving you, little you, undivided attention? Yay! You can sit down like that. Hallelujah. Okay, well, maybe we should do some confession here. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For loving us. And having made possible for me to come in contact with you and to receive from you everything that I need for life and godliness. Thank you that through the blood of Jesus, I can come into your presence and receive forgiveness, strength, direction, healing, deliverance, freedom, joy, and everything else that is available through Jesus' blood. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I'm grateful to you, and I receive your love in my life. In Jesus' name,
amen
and amen.